Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is Munchcast with Cammie Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 80 for May 3rd, 2010. Cracker Jack and other confections. This episode of Munchcast is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/munchcast. It's time for Munchcast!
There's a lot of things my baby might like, but when it comes to kissing, she's the Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack, Cracker Jack,
Cracker Jack.
Ooh, like that. Cracker Jack, Cracker Jack,
baby.
It is the Q's, and in our tradition of giving old defunct groups at least a penny or two more in royalties, we dredged them up, we lay them down. Hello, Cammie Blackstone.
Hello, Leo. How are you today?
I'm guessing today that we must be talking about Cracker Jack.
Well, we are, because, you know, I was singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game the other day, and I thought, you know what? I know we did a popcorn episode a long time ago, but really we've never done a candy-covered corn episode. And, of course, Cracker Jack, the granddaddy of them all, as immortalized in the Take Me Out to the Ball Game song.
Right.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Yeah. I don't care if I ever get back.
Yep. Yep.
Now, when you sing, you don't sing Root, Root, Root for the home team.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You say root, root, root for the Giants.
No matter what ballpark I'm in, it's right. Root, root for the Giants. I could be seeing, like, you know, a Mets-Cubs game, and I would still say, root, root for the Giants.
Root, root for the Giants. Now, yeah. I got a guy in here in a Baltimore Orioles cap. I probably, when you say root, root, root for the Orioles, right? Of course you do.
Oreos.
And then I got a guy from Shanghai here. What do you say? Red Sox Nation, he's a Bo Sox fan.
Oh, I am so, so sorry.
Hey, I'm a Bo Sox fan. I grew up in Providence, you know. I mean, that's my team also. But I became a Giants fan.
Yeah.
And we got a good team this year, don't we?
Yes, we do, babe. I don't know what they're doing right now, but I got to say, it has been very exciting the last
hum
few games.
Baby.
Yeah, bring them on back.
We come from the Hum Baby era.
Yeah.
Roger Craig.
The Bill Lurie days, or Bob Lurie days.
Whatever his name was.
Whatever. Hey, but you know the guys who wrote Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and they were writing it on a bus or on a subway in New York City, I guess.
Were they?
They'd never been to a baseball game.
They just imagined what it was like.
Yeah. Really? And then they put in Cracker Jack, you know, and from then on, probably if they didn't use Cracker Jack in that song, I don't know that Cracker Jack would still be around. Do you?
No, you're probably right, because it's kind of an old-fashioned food. Fiddle Faddle and Screaming Yeller Zonkers have really, I think, superseded the Cracker Jack.
The candy corn. I don't know, though, because Cracker Jack still sold at ballparks. You know, it still comes in those three packs. And, you know, they don't have the cool prizes anymore, but they have, you know, the stickers and the tattoos and stuff.
They wrote this in 1908.
Yeah.
That's how old. Oh, hey, is that Henry or Lewis?
Yeah, Henry. That's Henry.
Hey, Henry. Henry, your son has just popped up. He probably heard the words Cracker Jack. Do kids still love Cracker Jack?
Henry, do you still love Cracker Jack? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cracker Jack, it has a darker hue and a tighter kernel.
It is. And, you know, Cracker Jack, the reason it's different, it's not actually, it's molasses covered. That was the secret ingredient. Whereas a lot of them actually use caramel, or in the case of my favorite, the Screaming Yellow Zonker.
That's LSD. That's LSD that's all over that one.
But do you know that they have sold so many Cracker Jacks in the world that if you laid end to end, there's been enough to circle the earth 69 times. And that Cracker Jack is the largest maker of toys.
What? Because you can't even call those things toys that come in a Cracker Jack. It's a piece of paper.
But at one time, more than 23 billion toys have been given out since 1912.
Wow. Now, what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite Cracker Jack toy? A memory, perhaps, from your ute?
You know, I remember they used to have little tiny race cars. That's what I remember.
Oh, yeah.
But then they just got, you know, now it's just flat stickers and stuff. I mean, you know, the whole choking hazard. I mean, and seriously, how many deaths can really be attributed to choking on Cracker Jack toys?
Come on. This is the original Cracker Jack toy. I saved this. It's a John Deere steam tractor.
Is that in the very first Cracker Jack
box? It was in the very
box?
First Cracker Jack. We repainted it. We refinished it. But there it is. That's it for those of you who've never seen it. That's
goodness.
Oh, it fell. It's broken. Oh, what a shame.
Gone forever. Well, you know.
What was the first choy? Do you know? I mean, do they say that? Is it Wikipedia?
Well, let's see. Let's look at prizes. Right now they're doing a little thingy with Major League Baseball where you can collect a series of 34 baseball team stickers type things.
I guess that's why they're doing the sticker paper thing and nobody ever choked on a sticker.
Not yet.
Do you know what the name of the sailor boy on the front of Cracker Jack's? Do you know what his name is?
Sailor is not Jack. It's not Jack.
It is. It is his name. Well, okay. What's the name of the dog?
You know, I have a feeling that that dog and that boy are both related to the shoe. You know, what's the
they
shoe?
They do look like jumping Jack shoes.
It's what are those shoes?
Sailor Jack and his dog Bingo.
Bingo. Well, what was the shoe kid? Now I'm like completely freaking out that there was like a shoe
Lad
kid
and
with a
Lassies.
Dog.
I know. What was his name?
Oh, Bingo. Well, Bingo was his name-o.
B-I-N-G-O. Maybe that's also inspired. So now Frito owns Cracker Jack.
Frito does own Cracker Jack, and then ConAgra owns just about every other kind of popcorn there is. It's kind of incredible.
ConAgra, basically, there's two companies, Archer Daniel Midland's and ConAgra. And they've decided that if you just grow corn and everything's made out of corn, life will be good. And so basically everything's made of corn now. You read that in the book about Fast Food Nation.
Oh, right.
That basically everything you would make McDonald's, there's more corn in a chicken McNugget than there is chicken.
And they probably make the little box that they come in.
It's made out of corn.
Yeah.
So I guess Cracker Jack, ConAgra just said, well, look, we got to sell more corn.
Yeah.
So they invented, but not Cracker Jack, because they don't own Cracker Jack. Fritos mm-hmm. owns Cracker Jack.
You know,
So is it Screaming Yellow Zonkers, is that a ConAgra product?
Yes. Screaming Yellow Zonkers first was owned by Lincoln Snacks, which also owned Fiddle Faddle, which is another
really?
Corn.
Yeah. So this is the famous Fiddle Faddle Zonkers divorce that you're talking about.
Well, no, they're still together because they're all under the big ConAgra umbrella now.
I remember growing up, when I grew up, Screaming Yellow Zonkers came out in the 70s. It was really kind of the hip snack. Let's just take a look. Or listen. This is school. They're bored. They're quiet. This is me in high school, I think. Oh, now they're singing. Okay, they're all high. Oh, he's definitely high. They've got a glazed look. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Is this real?
Yeah.
This is not a fake ad? This is what TV was like when I was a kid, boys and girls. Oh, nice hairdo. What the hell with the... Wait a minute, I got to go back. What the hell is going on with his hair there?
Oh.
Oh, man.
He's got the greasy, wet look, and he's going with it.
Oh, these guys, they all look crazed. They all look crazed. Yeah, that's how my hair was when I was a kid. Now, he's eating the box, which is a little strange. See, he's so hungry, he's got the munchies. This guy, what the hell's with that hair?
It was an early comb over. He was getting ready for his male pattern baldness.
You know, I'm just thinking of this guy. You know, he's got, hey, mom, my big commercial break is today. I really want something special with my hair. Can you make it out of plastic? And what the hell is that?
Shoe polish. I'm bothered by my flyaway strands.
Maybe that's it.
Extra gel today.
Holy cow. And he looks like Herman Munster to begin with, but then he's got the, I don't know what that hair is. It's long, though, right?
It is long. I like the way it spooks out over his left ear.
Yeah, on the temple.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that is just this
but
must
listen
be.
Listen to that jam. Who is that? It almost sounds like it's from Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Yeah, it's got that wall of crap sound. Ooh. So, I don't know about you, but it makes me want to get high and eat some Screamin' Yellow Zonkers.
You know, Screamin' Yellow Zonkers was the very first product to have an all-black box.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm telling you, this was considered very hip in those days.
Well, and apparently they had like little cartoons on the outside and stuff, and they had the writers from Laugh-In wrote the comic.
There you go. So, see?
Yeah, there was all little, I'm you know, it was just part of a big thing.
Can you buy these still, or are they gone?
You know, I did find, and I gave you another link. Apparently, recently, they did sort of a comeback, and somebody was hired. I think it was in the last few years, but there's like another updated commercial that's just as crazy.
Poppycock and Fiddle Faddle have a new home.
ConAgra.
These timeless popcorn favorites are now a proud part of the ConAgra family of quality brands.
They should just rename it to CornAgra.
ConAgra. So you saying that somewhere in here I have a link.
Somewhere there's another one.
To another Screaming Yellow Zonkers.
I can tell you where it is.
TV yep, commercial. Gonna... Here you go. Wait a minute. Let's go to high def. Like they had high def back then. Your video channel has been taken over.
Once there existed an ugly, ugly person. And what made him so ugly was that he had no taste. Not one. Then he stumbled upon a box of Screaming Yellow Zonkers and stuffed some into his face. Well, to his astonishment, they were great. Well, it was more than great. What they was a magical butter glazed popcorn snack. So, if you're ugly, or even...
Oh, this is definitely aimed at stoners. I'm sorry, it's so obvious.
Change your life. Maybe not.
Clearly, the ad company said, who's going to buy these? Oh, I know. Who's going to buy these? Whoa. It's for stoners.
Okay, well, look at the next one right below that last one. Yeah. This is kind of a newer version, and I think they're still
after
update the same
this? Audience. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is slightly updated.
Okay,
the
just
dot
so
removal.
The classic Screaming Yellow Zonkers one, that one.
No, it says J.J. Dessel Sadelmeyer. It's not on there. It's on.
It's on yours and your thing. You see, but you see, I don't have. I'm not as organized. Oh, here it is. I see it is. It didn't turn it into
a link.
A
see,
link.
I
so
know.
Let me click the link. I'm sorry. It's a Google Docs thing. Here you go. J.J. Sadelmeyer.
This is when they tried to hip it up a little bit.
Far away in a galaxy you can't see from the top of your house lies the planet Zonker, birthplace of that sweet popcorn snack, Screaming Yellow Zonkers. Kids here love Screaming Yellow Zonkers.
I pledge my snack time to the Zonkers.
They've all got yellow mohawks and make this pledge.
Zonkers, Zonkers, let's go bonkers.
Kids like Zonkers because it's popcorn.
It's sweet.
And there are no nuts.
Nuts? No.
Screaming Yellow Zonkers.
Wow, that's a relief. Who would put nuts in those things? I guess that's a shot right across the bow of Cracker Jack.
Yeah, it is. Or Poppycock, if you will.
Now,
Poppycock, another one.
Well, Poppycock is Screaming Yellow Zonkers with nuts, basically.
Pretty much. I mean, there's all kinds of gourmet variations.
You were saying that that Screaming Yellow Zonkers are more butter-coated.
Yeah, that's got a butter glaze, as opposed to the molasses flavor of the Cracker Jack. You know, and also Screaming Yellow Zonkers, you get your entertainment on the outside of the box. Cracker Jack, you get it inside with the prize.
You know what I love? And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, a word from Audible.com. Do you mind?
No, go ahead. Let's pick out a really psychedelic sort of Screaming Yellow Zonkers book.
You know, they probably have something like Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test on here.
Perfect.
Let me just check. I should mention, I should tell you who this is. Audible.com is an incredible online repository of books. 75,000 books recorded by the best voices in the business, the greatest actors, people. I mean, these books come to life, and it's how I read. It's how I read. Well, let's see. Ken Kesey, they do have One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's kind of, but they don't have Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. That was a great one. Let's see if they have anything by Tim Leary.
There you go.
They probably don't. Or Ram Dass. No. Jack Kerouac, there you go. They'll have a Jack Kerouac. They'll have something by Jack. He was on the road. There you go.
Or you could do Carlos Castaneda.
Did you? Carlos Castaneda, the Dharma Bums. There's a good one. Let's look at this is what I love about Audible. Go to audible.com/munchcast And you can browse through this. It's just so much fun to look for books and then listen to them. I'm listening to a book, The Time Traveler's Wife. Did you see that movie?
No.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the movie, but I love the book. It's about a guy who travels through time. It's really cool. You know,
who was in that movie? Is that Diane Lane?
Somebody like that. I haven't seen it. I'm going to see it now. Here's the thing I like to do with Audible. I get the book before I see the movie.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times the book's better anyway.
Yeah.
And then I watch the movie. But see, that way the book is not spoiled for me. And the book to me is more important. But the neat thing about Audible is when you're listening to a book, it's kind of like a movie in your mind.
That's right. And you can do so many other things while you're listening to it.
Oh, yeah. I do it, well, at the gym. While
I'm driving.
Laundry. Folding laundry. Really good. Any kind of housework, which is, to me, the worst, right?
Mm-hmm.
You listen to Audible and boom, it goes by in no time. In fact, you kind of look for more laundry to fold.
Right. More socks until this chapter is done.
Let me unsort these socks that I just sorted because I want to hear another chapter. Audible.com/munchcast. That's where you go to get your first book. I think this would be good for Henry.
Yeah.
It's called The Irresistible Henry House, a novel. As the title suggests, it's from Lisa Grunwald. Have you read any of her?
I know her. What else did she? That name is so familiar.
It is the middle of the 20th century, and in a home economics program at a prominent university, real babies are being used to teach mothering skills to young women. For a young man raised in these unlikely circumstances,
my God.
Finding real love and learning to trust will be the work of a lifetime. I think this sounds great. He was the guy grew up, he was a practice baby.
Wow, developing all those.
On a steamy September morning in 1963 at the Walt Disney Studio in Burbank, California, a 17-year-old Henry Gaines sat across a cluttered desk from a cheerful man named Phil Morrow and waited.
Don't you just want to hear what happens next?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this book, but it just makes me want to listen to it. Audible.com/munchcast. You can get this book or any of their 75,000 titles free. Some of them are multiple credits, but most of them are single credit. And I'll tell you, you're just going to love it. This sounds like just a wild book.
Yeah, that'd be a good movie. In your head.
In my head. See, it comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm adding this to my cart right now. Audible.com. See, I get two books a month because I'm on the Platinum account. But you're going to go, if you go to audible.com/munchcast, sign up for the Gold account. That's one book. And this is, by the way, this is what I'm listening to right now that has changed my life. I know I'm a dork. It's called Happy. Simple Steps to Get the Most Out of Life.
Wow.
I wasn't happy till I listened to this book by Dr. Ian K. Smith, the diet doctor.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's made me happy.
I need that one. That's going to be my next book.
Breakfast. My evening session proved a little trickier, however. Because of the time difference, it made sense for me to wait until 11 p.m. or midnight.
It's a good book now, and you know, this is the thing. I always go to Audible first when I hear about a book. I saw this guy on CNN or somewhere. I said, "Well, that sounds good." The book just came out 3 days ago. I said, I said, "That sounds good." So I went to Audible, and there it is. So I can listen 4.5 hours. I'll be done with this by Saturday, and I'll be happy by Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
AudiblePodcast.com. I think I gave the URL wrong earlier. It's audiblepodcast.com/munchcast. Thank you, Cammie Blackstone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Audible.
So, I don't know if you've put I don't even know if this is on your radar.
Okay, what?
Forget Fiddle Faddle, Cracker Jack, Poppycock.
Yeah,
forget Caramel Corn. It's all about the kettle corn these days.
Oh, I know. But kettle corn is, you cannot buy off the shelf. You need to go to a farmer's market or a fair or, you know, somewhere where those kettles are. They're not as good at home. I bought the microwave kettle corn, not as good.
No. You're right. Maybe that's what makes it so special.
Right.
Why don't they serve kettle corn at the ballpark?
I don't know. Mm. Maybe there are only so many kettles in the world. Mm. They're all at county fairs.
Mm. Mr. Orioles fan is rubbing his belly saying,
You know, at the farmer's market by where I work at City Hall, on Wednesdays, there's a kettle corn booth. And all of these really super skinny, anorexic looking girls, women, buy those kettle corn bags. It's as tall as them. And then they carry it back to the house. I swear they just subsist on that.
You cannot get fat on kettle corn.
Yeah. It's kind of incredible.
It's a well-known fact. And by the way, Madonna, popcorn diet. That's how she stays so slender. That and bulimia. So no, I didn't say that. That was a joke. So I have no idea how she stays so slender. But I do remember she went on a popcorn diet.
She did.
Right before the Kabbalah thing, she was doing popcorn.
Right. And then it's like, then she kind of, you turn into kind of like a beanbag chair. All those kernels.
They sink to the bottom. So, you know, it's a simple recipe. 1/4 cup vegetable oil, 1/4 cup white sugar, 1/2 cup unpopped popcorn kernels. You heat the vegetable oil in a large, I'm going to try this tonight, in a large pot over medium heat. This is like how we used to make popcorn before they invented the microwave. Once
before
hot.
The air popper?
I showed my kids this. They said, what are you doing? I said, I'm making popcorn. They said, Dad, you're going to hurt yourself.
There's a flame touching that pot.
And they said, can I shake it? I said, yes, it's very important. Shaking is very important. Once hot, stir in the sugar and the popcorn together. Okay, this is the key. You put the sugar in while you're popping. Cover, shake the pot constantly to keep the sugar from burning and the kernels.
See.
Once the popping is slowed, remove the pot from the... That's, you know what? That's it. There's no recipe here. From now on, when you make popcorn, put a cup of sugar in there. A quarter cup of sugar in there.
Or, you know, since we're going to go with the all corn thing, corn syrup. Just put that in there.
I don't know. I think I mentioned this the last time we did popcorn, but for some reason, it seems to be that the kettle corn franchise, they're preying on old people.
Yeah, you did tell say that.
Have you noticed?
It's like old people are about to keel over, and then they're forced to be like stirring these giant pots of hot.
They were like, I'm telling you.
County fairs in the middle of nowhere.
It's burning hot. And they're sitting over a hot kettle with a giant, like, it looks like a canoe oar.
Well, you know, that's what it is. It's the old man sweat.
That's what makes it taste so good. I feel sorry. And they've got bandaged fingers. You can tell they've been burned by the hot caramel. And they're like 80 years old. And it's really obvious that they didn't save enough money in their 401k. Or they're on some crappy Walmart pension. And, you know, by day he's a greeter at Walmart. By night he makes kettle corn at the county fair. I feel so very sorry for these people.
Oh, I know. But kettle corn, what do you know? No matter what the corn is, if there's some kind of sugar added to it, I like it. So whether it's the kettle corn or it's the fiddle faddle or the poppycock that has the nuts in it, it's all delicious. Don't you think?
But you can't. Can you make fiddle faddle at home? I think not.
You can. I have some recipes that once I get the website going again, I'll put up there. And basically the hardest part is to make sure the popcorn doesn't stick all together and make like a giant popcorn
right.
ball.
Right. Well, I've made popcorn balls. A worse confection was never created by man. I mean, because I'll tell you why. They get very stale very fast.
Oh.
Nothing
and
worse.
And they're hot when you're putting them together.
Yeah, so you burn your hands, you make this thing. Now, if you eat it right away, you scald your mouth. But if you don't eat it right away, it's soggy. And that's it. There's two states, scalding or soggy.
Well, I do have a little preview for next week for you, Leah, that has to also do with this particular episode. I don't know if you can see this.
Gummy popcorn. What the hell is that?
Well, just around the corner, the end of May, it is the annual National Confectioners Association convention, where they mention and they introduce all the new junk foods for the year. And we got, Leo, this giant bag full of candy and snacks.
Are you going to come up next week?
From the NCA and whatever my children haven't pillaged.
To keep them away. Get away. Henry, get away from there.
No, Henry.
No, damn boy.
All kinds of stuff in here.
Kettle corn in the other room. Go.
Honey lovers, gumballs.
This is for Mother's Day. You're going to bring this by? Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Lewis actually pillaged all
this.
Lewis ate some?
Gum.
Henry, keep Lewis away from it.
Yeah. There was a lot of it, but there's still plenty left. Trust me. I did also eat one thing, which was a Java. It's called the Java Kit Kat. It's a coffee flavored Kit Kat.
You know what they do in Australia and anywhere antipodean? They take these kind of Kit Kats. They call them their
Tim Tams?
Tim Tams. You know. Uh-huh. They take a Tim Tam, which is looks like a Kit Kat.
Uh-huh.
But and then they dip it in the coffee. They blow a hole in it or something. How do they get the hole in the middle? They just do it. They break off both ends, and they dip in the coffee, and they use it as a straw. They suck it through a Kit Kat. Suck that through a Kit Kat.
So good. That sounds like, you know, yesterday I got to MC the St. Ignatius International Food Festival, and they have all these booths for different.
Is this another Queen thing?
No, it's in my neighborhood, and I'm just kissing up to them now in case my kids get to go to high school.
By the way, there's a name for this thing called the Tim Tam Slam.
Oh, well, they had an Australia booth, and that was the least attended booth in the entire International Food Festival, because on the plate that they would give you was a shrimp on the Barbie with a little sauce, a guava, like mango sauce.
Yeah.
And then a Tim Tam and some Vegemite. And it just like the three of those things together.
That's so disgusting.
I know.
I'm sorry. do you remember when we worked at KNBR down on the Embarcadero?
Mm-hmm.
There was, for one brief shining moment, an Australian restaurant. Now it's the Waterfront.
Wallabies.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember going over there?
I do. And I remember they brought, like, as, you know, the first, like, month they were there, they brought wallabies everywhere. Like, they were wallabies all over as, like, a publicity stunt.
Their specialty was, I kid you not, pea soup floaters.
That, you know, I've heard that term.
Not good. It's a bowl of bright green soup with something floating in it.
What would it be?
I don't know, but I wasn't going to try it. It's definitely what it could have been. Tim Tams.
It could have been Tim Tams, or maybe a fried Vegemite crouton or something.
Mm. Do you know, in 2004, in a pub in Croydon, England?
Yeah.
200 people attempted to set a world record, Tim Tam slamming.
Wow.
They suck tea there, not coffee.
Oh.
And that Natalie Imbruglia.
I remember her.
Yeah, she did it on the Graham Norton show. Jennifer Love Hewitt attempted a Tim Tam slam on the Australian talk show Rove Live.
Okay.
So it is not just for breakfast anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, Leo, and I know our time is short, but just to kind of wrap things up with the no more candy-coated popcorn, I think you got to play the Harry Carey just riffing and ragging on Cracker Jacks. It's so interesting to hear Cracker Jack immortalized in Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Harry Carey, who's like, you know, baseball, who sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, yeah. And then just for people who are not Chicago Cubs fans or didn't grow up listening to the Cubs, he was the voice of the Chicago Cubs for a great many years, Wrigley Field. If you ever went to Wrigley Field in the Harry Carey era, the thing to do was to stick around for the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah.
And I've seen this several times because Harry, he'd be hammered by the seventh inning. I don't know what he was on, but he was hammered. And they would slide up in the window of the broadcast booth and they'd give Harry a mic in the PA system. And Harry, towards the end, he was, I don't know, he's older. And he'd lean out the window of the booth, practically falling out. He said, "All right, let me hear you. One, two, three," and then he'd lead the crowd in Take Me Out to the Ballgame. And I have to say, it's an American tradition. Wrigley Field, I love Wrigley Field. It's equivalent to Fenway. I mean, it's very much like Fenway in that it's an ancient building. I mean, when you go to Fenway or Wrigley, the stone steps are worn by the feet of a million downtrodden fans. And then, but they're not merely worn, they're also slightly slimy from hundreds of years of beer pouring down the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some peanut shells mixed in with that.
It makes a nice patina.
It's a unique funk that hangs over both of these stadiums. It's just a smell. But so now that I've painted a picture for you of Harry Carey, let's hear Harry Carey waxing philosophical about Cracker Jack, and I will say goodbye to you, Cammie Blackstone. Next week, we're going to get a sugar high in studio.
Yep. With a preview of all the new candies from the National Confectioners Association.
A candy preview. That's what Woo-hoo. Munchcast was made for, baby. That's what this show was designed for.
That's all about, my friend.
Podcast award winner for the year 2009. Best food podcast in the whole world. Next week, gummy popcorn. Thank you, Cammie Blackstone.
Thank you, Leo.
And now, Harry Carey.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box? Here's the pitch.
This is during a play-by-play.
It's important to some people when you're a little kid, especially from humble origin, and they cheat you out of a prize.
I love Harry.
There's a bouncing ball. Second baseman has the Barbary over to first. It's hard to think in laudatory terms of the product.
See, the great announcers, the game was secondary.
Yeah, keep going on with the story.
I think that there was an occasional box of Cracker Jacks that found no prizes for the little Harry Carey many years ago.
His broadcast partner cannot believe what Harry's going with this.
A box of Cracker Jack to me meant a lot of money. Here's a pitch bounce foul.
And he's going to go on. There's more.
That's the most asinine marketing I've ever heard of. One ball, one strike. These guys say, well, you sing about Cracker Jack. I said that I only sing it because it's in the song.
There he is.
Here's a pitch foul back. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised, even to this day,
those glasses.
Who buy a box of Cracker Jack don't find a prize in the box.
One Get over
ball,
Harry.
Two strikes, two out. Well, if you're going to talk about our congressman being crooked,